this ad that's one of these political ads that's running. I don't even remember which candidate it is, but they note that he knows how to hold a chainsaw correctly. And we've been kind of laughing about that, but now I actually do wonder, did one of this, I think it's a guy, did one of his opponents, like, accidentally lose an arm in a chainsaw accident or something? It did make me wonder, like, why? That's such a weird, specific thing to put in your ad. And now I'm wondering if there wasn't some sort of chainsaw incident with one of the opponents or something, because I don't know why else you would say, and he knows how to hold a chainsaw. It just seems like an odd thing to put in. I was writing it off as just one of those weird random things, but the more I think about it, maybe I don't know, the opponent,
maybe it's an inside
grabbed it by
joke.
The bar or something, or yeah, I don't know. Odd. Straight now, I'm gonna look it up. It's made me curious enough to check.
Maybe it just,
I guess,
means
if you look at photos of the opponent only has one hand. You're like, oh, I bet I know how that happened.
Maybe it just means that they're not afraid to, you know, to go out and do some work and get their hands dirty and stuff like that. Maybe that's what they're meaning.
But does it, how, okay, Sarah, does it say knows how to use a chainsaw or hold a chainsaw?
I think it knows how to use a chainsaw.
Okay, all right. Well, then that would make sense. For some reason, I was thinking knows how to hold a chainsaw, which that seems weirdly to use that verbiage.
I'll listen,
but if it
closely
says, yeah,
to that ad.
But if it says knows how to use a chainsaw, yeah, then that I could see, like, oh, hardworking.
Yeah, that would be my thought.
Yeah.
But
I know how to use a chainsaw.
Yeah.
I use one periodically.
Some of these ads are pretty difficult to dissect. Let's just put it that way.
You find yourself, instead of knowing where they stand on issues, you're like, now what does that mean exactly? This chainsaw thing.
And you're right about the way they talk. The more I listen, the more I hear that they're really talking hickish or whatever
they
you
do,
want to call
it. Sounds, there's one
twangish.
There's one in particular that sounds to me like what would be over the speakers at a ride at Silver Dollar City. Like the old, like in the mine, you know, where it's the old guy. Oh, now be sure to watch out for old man Jeb. If he catches you, he'll put a whole pellet of lead in your behind, you know. And that's what it,
that's good.
One of them sounds like that. One of them reminds me, when I was a kid, there was a guy who did the voice work for the Smuckers commercials, you know, the jelly. Yeah. And he's like, Smuckers, it makes you feel so good. He was this old timey.
Yeah.
One of them has that guy in it.
That's
like,
cool.
Oh, when you go to vote, and like, oh, well, Pappy says that it must be true.
Yep. Got my attention. Police tear gassed protesters and arrested eight of them following a demonstration outside of the governor's mansion in Jefferson City on Thursday. Demonstrators lay on the road outside of the mansion protesting a law the governor signed that they say is tough on people and not on crime. We're still trying to figure out exactly what that means. Police told the group they
would be... How you're tough on one but not the other.
That's right.
Not how you're tough on the crime but not the crime. Because
crime's obviously not committed by people.
Yeah, crime is an crime's not like a... a thing, but it's an action by people.
Uh-huh. Last we checked. Police told the group they would be arrested if they stayed in the street. Authorities moved demonstrators to the sidewalk shortly before arresting some of them. Springfield and Greene County health officials report the third COVID-19 death this month. The patient was 80 years old and suffered from a compromised immune system. It's the 11th coronavirus death reported in Greene County. And that is the latest news.
Someone texted in and they said knows how to hold a chainsaw. That's
okay.
What it does.
Well,
now until I'm just going to have to listen for it.
Yeah.
Thank you. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvement, All Missouri Made Windows and More. It's one of my favorites, All Missouri Made Windows. Flash flood warning, Northeastern. Boy, he ran out of here fast. I guess he had something to do.
He said bye.
God, kept chatting away at him. See, Don is also, he has to do news for KTTS, and he does it live over there as well, and then he records it for the other stations. And so if I keep him yammering away, all of a sudden I run him late. Well, that's a them problem, not a me problem. Flash flood warning for northeastern St. Clair County until 2:15. Flash flood watch all the Ozarks through 9 tonight. Showers, thunderstorms today. High of 76. Chance of shower storms tonight, 62. Partly sunny, 80 tomorrow. It's 71. Emily Johnson Rhodes Real Estate with us. How do you do?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Fantastic. It's a great day.
It is. It's the last day of July.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I'm ready for August. Yeah.
Now, I have a question that's not really relevant to much. It's just my own curiosity here. A lot of careers are like there are these benchmarks that like the end of the month is a big deal. You got to do this by the end of the month. Is that relevant in any way to what you do, or is it just another day?
It is. You know, typically the end of the month is our busiest for closings. So a lot of times homeowners that are selling or someone that's buying, we tend to have a closing toward the end of the month.
Why does it fall that way?
Say that again.
Why does it tend to be that way?
It just, you know, a lot of buyers need a minimum of 30 days mm-hmm. to close. The end of the month, a buyer then, if you close at the end of the month, you pay a little bit less taxes for that month. It just kind of is one of those things where you have a 30 or a 45 or a 60 day closing. We tend to shoot for the end of the month. So, but with that being said, you know, I have two closings next week that are on August 7th. And so there's really no rhyme or reason for that date. It's just when the buyers and the sellers agreed to close. So, you know, every month is different, but I tend to have the majority of my closings usually in the last week of the month. And that's pretty consistent for a lot of other agents, and the title companies are very, very busy at the end of the month then as well, because they're handling all of the closings for our area that last week of the month. So it tends to fill up pretty quick.
Interesting. See, now I'm glad
I
know.
Right. I mean, it's not a rule or anything
right.
like that.
Just happens
kind of
that way.
It's how the cookie crumbles a lot for a lot of instances. So, but with that being said, I actually don't have any closings today. They had
nice.
To be extended into next month. So August will be a very busy month. You know, we had a lot of activity area-wide in July of people selling homes and buying homes. So a lot of buyers, you know, want to close and get settled before school starts in August, which that's kind of a whole another realm for us right now with school districts releasing their plans on how they're implementing back to school. We've talked about, or you've talked about, Springfield Public Schools and the initiative they are doing, which leads me to my next thing. I have buyers that are looking to be in districts outside of Springfield that are offering full-time seated classes. Families are actually considering moving, you know, get their kids in school.
That's really interesting.
5 days a week.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, a lot of times people just talk. They get mad and they're like, well, we'll move out. And I think that there is this certain comfort that the school districts in the city have that, oh, people won't actually do it. But to hear that there are people actively looking to do that, that's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes. Well, and I think it's just a combination of everything.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's county issues or maybe the mask mandate or then now the school plan. But yes, I have clients that are looking for Ozark, Nixa, Republic, and Willard. So if you are even thinking of selling your home in one of those school districts, please give me a call. I'd be happy to let you know, what your home's worth or potentially make a connection between you and my client that are looking to be in those areas. So I actually also am working with some investors right now, too, that have rental properties in Willard and Nixa, and they're considering, you know, now that their leases are up in August, selling those rental properties for families that are looking for single-family homes in those school districts that are offering full-time seated classes.
Wow.
So it's very, very interesting time.
Yeah.
You know, we're typically very busy this time of year, but it seems like reasons for why we're busy are shifting, you know, as we continue down this path of the virus and getting people back to school and work. So.
All right. Well, that's fascinating. Now, the information you just gave is much more fascinating than what I asked about. Here we held off that very interesting information because of my own weird curiosity. And, of course, people, and I recommend that they find you on Facebook and like you. That way they can easily contact you because not everyone's like, oh, well, I didn't think about buying a house. Maybe I'll do that. But the time very well mm-hmm. could come. Or, you know, they may hear you talk about some folks who are looking specifically for a home, and they're like, well, that's us. Boy, we have that. We've thought about putting it up for sale. And then that way, if they're friends with you on Facebook, they have an easy way to contact you.
Absolutely. You know, Facebook is probably the one place where the majority of our audience here with KSGF, you know, likes to interact. But I also have accounts on pretty much every social media channel, as well as, you know, Zillow, Trulia, Realtor.com. I'm pretty easy to find, you know. So just I would say even just Google searching my name and Rhodes Real Estate will help get you either to a phone number to call me, or if you want to message me through Facebook or email, if you know, aren't comfortable talking on the phone, carrier pigeon, you know, I'm available all the ways. So.
All right. And 890-1455, of course, the number as well. Emily Johnson, thank you so much. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
All right. Take care. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, again, 890-1455. Don Luzader now with the latest traffic. Here on Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Probably one of the biggest things to happen in the last 24 hours, most significant things that is, of course, getting hardly any coverage in the mainstream media at all, is the release of documents under a judge's order related to Jeffrey Epstein. There was a civil suit from 2015, and in that civil suit, there were all sorts of interviews with victims and evidence gathered and so forth. And, of course, Epstein's right-hand gal, Ghislaine Maxwell, has recently been arrested, and she's, you know, facing all sorts of charges. And there has been an attempt to keep all of that information from being made public that was part of that civil suit. And last night, they were, despite objections from her attorneys, that information was released. Here is some of the transcript I have here. It's not audio. I'm going to read to you. It's just a few lines that may be of interest to you from one of the victims talking about the island. This is the pedophile island that Epstein had set up, in which these underage girls from all over the world would be brought in. Many of them were, you know, exceedingly vulnerable and had nowhere else to go. And so Epstein preyed on that and held them on the island so they could service men. And it basically became one giant statutory rape island. So in the interview, for the purposes of the civil suit, again, this was ordered released last night. Now it is public. Victim: he told me a long time ago that everyone owes him favors. They're all in each other's pockets. Question: when you say that you ask him, why is Bill Clinton here? Where was here? Victim: on the island. Question: when you were present with Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Clinton on the island, who else was there? Victim: Ghislaine, Emmy, and there were two young girls that I can identify. I never really knew them well anyway. They were two girls from New York. Question: were all of you staying at Jeffrey Epstein's house on the island, including Bill Clinton? Answer: that's correct. He had about four or five different villas on his island, separate from the main house, and we all stayed in the villas. Question: were sexual orgies a regular occurrence on the island at Jeffrey's house? Answer: yes. Now, this is significant because, of course, Clinton, now this is from years ago. This Q&A took place as part of the civil suit. Clinton has long denied he ever was on the island. He admitted, oh, I was on his plane, the Lolita plane, as it was called. But it was just to go to, I think, fundraisers, or it was some humanitarian purposes that he was on the plane. But he's denied that he's ever been to Rape Island. But this is testimony from one of the victims saying, yeah, I was there with two young girls. And there were orgies taking place. Now, let me ask you, have you even heard about this until now? Do you think if in place of Bill Clinton, the name was Donald Trump, there would be the same vacuum of discussion in the media on this? I think we all know the answer to that. I mean, is anyone surprised? Everyone, I mean, even Democrats know. I mean, you think about it. Bill Clinton clearly liked younger ladies. Had lots and lots and lots of relationships that ranged from consensual to accusations of rape. I mean, this is all factual information. He spends a lot of time with an individual that had an island where underage girls were kept there for the purposes of serving powerful men. Bill Clinton was known to fly on the airplane that would go to that island. When law enforcement raided Epstein's island, they found his little black book, and there were 23 different forms of contact in order to be able to get a hold of Bill Clinton. All of that, as circumstantial as it is, that alone, any person who is realistic realizes that probably, yeah, he was there. And now we have a victim. Ah, I wonder if this is a victim that should be believed. Or is this another instance in which a female victim of sexual abuse should be ignored? Much like Biden's accuser. You know, Biden, somewhat shocking he's not caught up in this, given his apparent, at least, hobby of sniffing young girls' hair. Though the girls on the island, I think, Biden tends to snuggle up towards, I mean, just from what we've seen publicly, to girls that range, I don't know, 10, 11, 12. Well, the Epstein Islands seem to be populated with girls around the age of 14 and 15, so it may have been just a little too old for good old Joe. St. Louis County prosecutor, you may not have known this. St. Louis County prosecutor had reopened the Michael Brown shooting case. Now, as you know, the grand jury, after listening to witnesses to the shooting of Michael Brown, found that there was absolutely no way, shape, or form that they could charge the officer. It was clear by all the evidence that the officer simply used force that was necessary in order to protect his own life. It was self-defense. Well, the St. Louis County prosecutor, Wesley Bell, reopened it several months ago to look and decide whether or not he could find any evidence that would justify filing charges. And he has revealed his answer. The answer is no. Quote, "This is one of the most difficult things I've had to do as an elected official. Although this case represents one of the most significant moments in St. Louis history, the question to this office is a simple one. Could we prove beyond a reasonable doubt that when Darren Wilson shot Michael Brown, he committed murder or manslaughter under Missouri law? After an independent and in-depth review of the evidence, we cannot prove that he did." Now, his statement here is one that is misleading because he makes it sound as if there is, you know, the impression is they just couldn't prove it. When in fact, everything proved that he was acting in self-defense. It wasn't a lack of hard evidence that we could just really prove or that we couldn't prove that this was cold-blooded murder. That's not what's going on here. What's going on here is very clear evidence. Everyone who was there finally would admit it under testimony, under oath, rather. It's not the best audio in the world. I still have it. I played it. It was the day after that shooting took place. It may have been even the day. And somebody was filming. Michael Brown's body was still on the ground. And they were filming the scene as police were investigating it. And people are gathered and they're talking about what happened. And there was a guy who saw it. And you can hear him in the background telling someone else that Michael Brown reached into the car. He was fighting with the police officer. When he took off, the officer went after him. And then Michael Brown turned around and charged him. That's what happened. That's what the witnesses saw. And that was somebody like right then and there, before the body was even taken away, explaining to other people what he saw happen. Not hands up, don't shoot. This should come as no surprise, though. I suppose it's another reason for peaceful protesters to start rioting once again in St. Louis. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Cattle Baron's Ball going digital, 12th annual, sponsored by Prime Inc. It'll be August 29th. Details at ksgf.com. We're going to get updated from Christy Fulnecki here in just a couple of moments on the latest goings on with recalls and, or well, no, I guess lawsuits rather. First, none other than Don Luzad with the latest news.
Well, good morning. Widespread amounts of 1 to 2 inches of rain are possible in the Ozarks today, with tropical-like moisture in place over the area. The National Weather Service says where showers and storms track over the same areas, flash flooding will be possible. We could even have some pockets of 2 to 4 inches. The good news is the rain moves out later tonight, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday's forecast, and I'm not even going to mention it because I'm going to let you tell them about it here in just a minute, Nick. Republic schools are asking parents for feedback on their back-to-school policy. Leaders want to know which of the three phases the parents like the most. The deadline to get that survey completed is Monday. And the Springfield Area Chamber of Commerce says it endorses Amendment 2 to expand Medicaid in Missouri. It's on next week's statewide election ballot. This comes after the amendment received endorsements from the State Chamber of Commerce and the St. Louis, Kansas City, and Columbia Chambers of Commerce. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. That flash flood warning, northeastern St. Clair County until 2:15 this afternoon, with a flash flood watch for everyone else until 9 tonight. Showers, thunderstorms, 76 today for a high. Chance of showers, storms, low of 62 tonight. Partly sunny, 80 tomorrow. It's 70 and mostly cloudy here at the KSGF studios. So the ad does say hold a chainsaw. We were talking earlier about this. It's a Van Kelly for Senate ad, and it's knocking on Rob Ross, who's also running for that seat. There's some gal who's running too. But and it's saying, and so we're like, what is that? Hold a, knows how to hold a chainsaw. So someone had said it's in reference to a television ad, but then someone else said, well, there's a picture of Rob Ross, and we found one where he is, I'm trying to think how best to describe this, where he's using a chainsaw as one might use a post. You know, he's got it's vertical, and he's sort of not really leaning on, well, kind of leaning on it with his foot up. So I don't know if that's what it's in reference to. I mean, he's not utilizing it or anything other than just to sort of, you know, you do with something, you kind of lean on it. And that's what he's doing with the bar, you know, down. And then the part that you hold, he's sort of leaning on. So I don't know if that's what it's about. It's just, I don't know. I can't figure it out. Christy Fulnecki is with us. Busy couple of weeks. It has been for you, of course.
Yes, I have been very busy, which I did not expect that.
Well,
it's good, though.
Yeah, so what is the latest? Tell us everything we need to know about, well, first, is there any movement on the Springfield situation?
No, but we are, I've been trying to get a specific time for a hearing. And I'm waiting for the clerk to get back to me, the judge's clerk. So I'm hoping that we'll have a hearing dates on the TRO, which is a temporary restraining order.
What is taking so long? Does it always take this long?
I don't know. I don't know if it's COVID. I did request to change judges, and so we had switched judges. And so and I'm doing a it's a little technical, but I'm doing a TRO. It's basically emergency injunction with notice. And what that means is that, you know, a hearing is required. But I'm hoping that the hearing will be at the beginning of this coming week. We did change judges this week. The city was served at noon last Friday, and then they entered their appearance on Tuesday. But, you know, I think they entered their appearance Tuesday because the council met, for litigation on Tuesday and closed session. So I assume it was about the lawsuit.
I bet
maybe this lawsuit, another.
I bet they are really loving you right now. I bet they never thought
around here.
Yeah, I bet they never thought they would ever have to have a closed meeting again that that involved you in some capacity.
I know, that's right. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I never thought I was going to be back around on this side,
right.
but you know, it just goes to show you that, I mean, when people get fed up that they're not represented, they need somebody to be their voice. And like I said, like I wasn't sure if I was up to doing this. You know, I've heard people say, oh, you just wanted revenge. I'm like, well, no, I actually want to help these people. And,
yeah. You
know, I mean, if I'm a thorn in their side, too, I mean, I might be smiling on the side. I don't know.
Might be a little bonus.
I know.
So,
well,
yeah, go ahead.
I should, by the time I'm on next week, I should have, hopefully we'll have had a hearing by when I'm on Thursday of next week. But I do have another announcement. I've had, as I said yesterday, I've had my phone's been ringing off the hook. People wanted me to represent them, actually all over the state. But there has been, I don't know if you know, for the people that have kids in Springfield Public Schools, that they came up with this reentry plan. Well, it doesn't really make any sense because you can either do online or you could choose to send your kids to school for 2 days a week based on what your last name is. Then you have to do virtual or online learning for 3 days a week. Well, you know, I saw that and I thought, what do you do about work? What do these parents do about work? You're going to become a homeschooler. I mean, the teachers are still supposedly interacting with them, but you're going to do homeschooling and then 2 days a week, your kid's going to be in class. So I actually was contacted by hundreds of parents in the public school system. And this morning we're filing a lawsuit against the Springfield Public Schools Board of Education, the superintendent, and we are naming the school board members. We're not sure if there's any formal action taken to approve the reentry plan. We're trying to find that out. But, you know, it's the responsibility, especially something this important, you know, that the school board has responsibility for it. And obviously they know about it and must agree with it because nobody said anything. And, you know, one of the arguments, and I've heard this from a lot of people, they're frustrated because we pay property taxes in the city of Springfield, you know, and I'm citing, I could talk about it just for briefly a minute if we have a minute, but
yeah,
the Missouri State Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, but one of the fundamentals is right to free public education, you know, and if the government's going to levy taxes against us, well, then we have a right to some kind of services, I would think, for that. And so they're making an argument, and me on their behalf, that the kids need to have an option. One of the options, you know, just have, okay, if you don't want to send your kids, then you can do virtual learning, but then there needs to be a 5-day in-classroom option. And I mean, I'm telling you, this goes across all party lines. And somebody said yesterday, they're like, well, you know, I can't imagine any parent that would be for this plan that you're, you know, this crazy, confusing last, it's because it's by your last name, what days you go to school. And they're like, well, you know, what if these parents are liberal? They're going to be like, oh, I hate Christy Fulnecki, but then I love her, and then I hate her, and then I love her. So, yeah, somebody said that to me yesterday. Oh, now I know.
Strange bedfellows.
I know. Isn't that interesting? But, you know, there's a lot of policy arguments besides the Constitution and the Missouri and U.S. Constitution. I mean, you've heard it said, the U.S. Department of Education, American Academy of Pediatrics, they've come out and said they strongly recommend kids being physically present in school.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the kids being isolated during COVID, you know, there's all kinds of psychological and mental health reasons why kids shouldn't be isolated anymore. So we go through and list all of that. And, you know, the rate of child abuse is high in our area. And, you know, the number one reporters are usually the people that are in the schools. So the kids are exposed to that, too. And a couple of my plaintiffs, I have three plaintiffs on this, although I don't know, I've had hundreds of people contact me, so I'm not sure what I'm doing with all the plaintiffs, but some of them, their kids have disabilities. There's a specific plan at IEP that they have. And so they're worried, you know, a lot of them have really excelled with their disabilities in school because of their programs and the, you know, the social part and the structure. And that is a huge thing under the ADA because those kids, at least my plaintiffs, the past few months have, you know, like after spring break and when there wasn't school, they really have, you know, decreased their learning and mm-hmm. have gone downhill when they were continuing to improve before that time. So I feel like we have to take a break. Can I still talk? Or
yeah, let me go ahead and do it. And then we'll continue on here with Christy Fulnecki. So Christy updating us on the lawsuit by those that she's representing against council members and the mayor with some of the mandates there. And now, excuse me, also those now parents who are who have hired Christy to file a lawsuit against those within the school district. Said board members, superintendent, who else?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the board. They call it the Board of Education, but it's the school board, the superintendent, and the board members. And in case somebody has to get off the radio, we are having a rally at noon outside of the Kraft building, which is not the Kraft business, but it's Springfield Public School headquarters on East St. Louis Street today at noon.
Yeah, that's just a bit off National, right? Is that
And you turn, and I believe I guess it would be west of National there, and St. Louis, or is it east?
East of National, yeah. East.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, and so, but if you look, it's Springfield Public Schools Kraft Administration Building, and we'll be outside there, and that'll be at noon, and my plaintiffs will be there, and we're getting ready to issue a press release on that. So,
okay, now is this a press conference as well, or is it just a route? Is this...
It's actually a press conference,
okay.
And we're getting ready. Yeah, we're getting ready to send out the press release here. Yeah, we wanted to get out a little bit earlier,
right.
But there's been a lot going on.
Sure, understandably. So,
but you know, as I was just going to say, as I mentioned, the past couple weeks are with the death rate being, I think it's 0.019% in Springfield. The death rate is so low, so if they're you know, I assume that they want kids to do this, you know, 2 days of in-class learning only, not to spread the virus. But, I mean, is that really necessary? Is that, you know, a compelling interest?
Well, and the death rate for kids in Springfield, zero.
Right. And, I know. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get too far off the beaten path here. But, you know, I know they will say on one hand the argument, well, they could spread it to other people. And there is some debate over what there are a lot of studies that's showing that that's not necessarily the case. But if they really believe that, then why would you give the option for kids to be in class a couple days a week?
I know. Yeah, right. And it's really, you know, there's all kinds of rumors because there obviously child care is a big issue that I can't confirm this, but the schools are trying to help people form neighborhood pods for child care. But then you have to have licensing, and I guess this would be for child care in the neighborhoods, but you're still having kids with kids.
Right,
it doesn't make any sense to me,
The thing you're trying to avoid, you're creating.
I know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. All of my plaintiffs are asking is just let our kids go to school for 5 days a week.
More with Christy.
You know, I mean, that's all they want is to have an option.
Right. More with Christy Fulnecki here in just moments. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk, 104.1. Christy Fulnecki with us, announcing a new lawsuit, this time Springfield Public Schools. All right, so, well, that should keep you busy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I each time I'm praying about this, but, you know, and it's interesting that I have been contacted by a lot of teachers, too, that are against this plan. Because, you know, I mean, this is not, you know, a war against teachers. This is a lot of them really care about their students, especially the kids with disabilities. And they know that they can't help them on online learning. I mean, there's a lot of kids with ADHD now diagnosed. I mean, those kids can't sit in front of a computer. I mean, they have specific ways that they help them. And kids need the structure. They need the discipline of going, you know, showing up and it's just very frustrating for the parents. And to me, I thought this, and I heard something about the, you know, Republic's considering theirs. I mean, the easiest way to do it is if you want to do an online option, that's fine. But we're going to have kids in class every day because that is, you just think of what it's going to do to the Springfield community. I mean, we already have a high poverty rate. If you're a business and you're looking at your parents, that maybe half of them have small children or elementary or secondary, you're thinking, well, what are these people going to do? Because most people, you know, both parents work. And so, you know, what's it going to do to the workforce, to our businesses, you know, and then trying to figure out, well, can I let this person work from home? You know, I'm not, one of my plaintiffs actually said that she was trying to get a different job. And she had to tell the people that she could only work 2 days a week. Well, that's not really,
right.
How does that go in an interview? You know, I can't show up, but 2 days out of the 5 days because I have to be at home to help my child. You know, I mean, this is a crisis situation. We, you know, on the businesses and then the parents where both of them work. I actually had one, I mean, I'm telling you, it's so hard to keep up with people calling me. I had one family call me. They said four people on their street, and this is a pretty, I would say, prominent family in Springfield. And they were so upset. They said, I think it was four families on their street pulled their kids to homeschool them. They're not even going to send them at all to the public schools.
Well, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but and this actually surprised me. Emily Johnson was telling us of Rhodes Real Estate that she is, you know, we have her on every so often. And a lot of times she'll, you know, throw out, oh, I've got this sort of house for sale, or I have people who are looking for this sort of house. And she is on the search. She has numerous people that are looking for homes in some of the districts that are having schooling and that don't have mask mandates. She said, because they're looking to move out of Springfield. And I said, you know, people will say that oftentimes, like, well, I'll just move out. That's easier said than done. I was surprised, actually, to hear that people are doing it. They are looking to get out. They're looking to sell their homes and move, homes in some of these other areas. Because of these decisions that are being made by the Springfield Public School District and by the city council in Springfield. That's pretty remarkable.
And I haven't even touched the mask thing. I mean, really, you're going to have kids at preschool and kindergarten and first grade. I mean, have them, they take their hands and they wipe their mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And they're, so, I mean, you know, if, I mean, really.
Well, even with adults, they've had to really stress all of the things not to do. With the, you know, don't touch this, don't do that. And you think, like you said, kids are going to, I mean, they're useless. They're ultimately useless when it comes to protecting kids.
Yeah. And you know what? There's no evidence that it even works.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people say, oh, Fauci, you know, one day Fauci says this, one day he wants to wear the stuff over your eyes. And one day there's not anything that says that it reduces deaths. And actually, there's quite a few countries, European Union, Sweden, there's Korea, there's a lot of studies. And there was one Council of European Union, they were saying that reopening the schools in 22 of their states, there had been no increase in the infection of COVID among students, teachers, and parents.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not spread by children. And also, again, like we go back to the fundamentals, what we always have talked about the past 2 months. It's about the death rate, or that's what they're saying. It's about the death rate. And in the beginning, it was about slowing the curve. But still, you know, if it's, they haven't provided any evidence in Springfield, if it's about the death rate, there haven't been any children that have died.
Yeah. So that's why they're doing it, is to make sure it doesn't happen. That's what they always say.
I mean, I don't understand it. And if you look at the cost, again, of the stress, you know, the suicides that we have in this area, the overdoses, the anxiety, the depression. I mean, I'm sure Burl's phones are ringing off the hook right now.
I imagine.
Because of mental health. And yep. Then you add this to it. I mean, there's such a simple fix, and I just don't understand it at all. And I, you know, the reason I took it is I just feel so bad for these parents. I mean, just hundreds of them had said, you're the only one that's listened to us. You're the only one that seems like, okay, we're not crazy. This is common sense. I'm like, everything you're saying is common sense. And I, you know, we still have a house in Springfield. So when I got that, one of my kids is going to be in the public school. And I thought, well, this is so confusing. I don't understand this at all. And people are like, well, what is it you don't understand? It's pretty easy. Your last name. I'm like, yeah, but what am I supposed to do those other 3 days? And you know, to me, like, I'm a bad homeschooler. My kid said, you're really a good mom, but you're kind of a manager when it comes to homeschooling. Because I was also working from home too.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you just put parents in a terrible situation it just breaks my heart that nobody's listening to them.
All right. Well, that's the time we have. And we got like 20 seconds.
Okay.
If you need to let anybody know anything, or do you get it all out?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Well, we'll get an update from, are we still going to get an update from you on Monday?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you an update. There's a rally at noon, and then there's going to be a press release, and there's a reopened Springfield group, not reopened, but there's a group for the schools that's on Facebook, closed group. But I'll put everything on Real Talk with Christy on my Facebook page.
All right, Christy Fulnacki, thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. All right. Yeah, like I said, we'll check in, of course, with her again on Monday around this same time so that she can update us on the progress on all of those fronts. In the meantime, Glenn Beck is coming up next. Have a fantastic weekend. I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1.